Good afternoon to everyone, and thank you for giving us the opportunity to present our study. So I have no relationship to this close. So I'd just like you to give you a short overview of our project. It's called Project Aspire, which stands for Asian American Partnership in Research and Empowerment. So I'm going to give you a little bit of the background of the study. I'll give you a short descriptive study of the literature that we did, and then the results from our screenings, and then future directions of our project. So we are from the Center for the Study of Asian American Health, or CESA, and we were founded in 2003 and was funded by NIH as a center of excellence dedicated to the research and reduction of health disparities affecting Asian Americans through research, training, and partnership. And this is our lead community partners in Project Aspire. It's called Calusugan Coalition. Calusugan in Tagalog means health. It says health coalition. And it's a multidisciplinary collaboration dedicated to creating a unified voice to improve the health of Filipino community in areas of New York and New Jersey. And we're doing that through network development, educational activities, research, community action, and advocacy. So Project Aspire overall goal is to improve the healthcare access and cardiovascular disease health status in the New York City Filipino-American community through interventions by community health workers. So we are using community health worker intervention to help our community lower their blood pressure or to improve their cardiovascular health. And so this is looking at the big picture of what our project is. And we are funded by the NIH, Minority Health Disparity. And we are currently at the fourth year of the five-year implementation grant. We already did the three-year planning grant. This is an R24 grant. And we are at the fourth year of the five-year implementation grant. And the five-year implementation grant, we're using a randomized controlled trial. And hopefully after the five-year grant, you know, the next 3 years would be the dissemination process stage. Sorry. And we are following the principle of community-based participatory research. Some of the descriptive studies that we found out in literature, heart disease accounted for 33% of deaths for Filipino Americans compared to other Asian groups, the Vietnamese, the Koreans, Japanese, and the Chinese. The National Health Interview Survey from NHANES showed that Filipino American adults are having the highest hypertension at 27%. But looking at cholesterol, there's a small study in San Diego, a cross-sectional study, which showed that low levels of HDL cholesterol in Filipino women. There is also the most recent data, but this is from, it came directly from the Philippines. This study is the second point in the slide is the National Nutrition and Health Survey, and they found out that the low high density lipoprotein cholesterol level increased from 54.2% in 2003 to 64% in 2008. Looking at diabetes, Filipinos had a higher incidence of diabetes than whites. There's also a study by Araneta et al. That shows that Filipino had a higher prevalence of type 2 diabetes and metabolic syndrome compared to white women. And then the last one was Javier. In 2007, Javier et al. But diabetes is more common among Filipino with a sample of 268 than in whites and other Asian Pacific Islander subgroups. In terms of smoking, there's a study done by Maxwell et al. The California Health Information Survey showed that 24% of Filipino American adults smoke, ranking third among other Asian subgroups. And so just to give you a little bit of a background of where we conduct our study, because we are conducting our study basically in the five boroughs of New York. But our concentration is in Queens, where there is the largest concentration of Filipinos, 33,225. And this is as of 2008 in census. So we have a total sample size of 1,634 Filipinos that we draw from our pilot study. The gender is 68% female and 32% male. The geography is 59% in New York City and 41% from New Jersey. A place of birth, most 98% of our total sample were born outside of the United States. 50% of our sample are uninsured. And this is the self-perceived health status that they gave us. And so as you could see, 49% said that their perceived health status is good, 21% said fair and very, very good, and then only 7% said that their health is excellent. So looking at the total sample that we have for looking at hypertension, awareness, treatment, and control out of the 1,634 samples that we have, we found out that 62% of our total sample are hypertensives. And out of the hypertensives, 66% are aware of their hypertension. 34% are unaware of their hypertension. It's kind of like they discover, I'm hypertensive. And out of those folks, 66% aware of their hypertension, 19% of them are not on meds. 79% are on medication for hypertension. But then out of the 79%, there are only 31% controlled hypertension. And as you can see here, it's more than two-thirds of those folks who are on meds are uncontrolled. They have uncontrolled hypertension. And so we examine the predictors, different predictors of hypertension, and this we created different models. And this is what the analysis has shown us. We could see here that the older age, self-reported health, high cholesterol diagnosis, and family history of hypertension are among the predictors of hypertension awareness. And in terms of predictors of hypertension treatment, we found out that older age, being insured, and folks who have been here in the United States for more than 15 years, people who don't smoke, and then people with diagnosis of diabetes are more likely to have hypertension treatment. And then looking at the predictors of hypertension control, we could see here there's like kind of like a lower confidence interval, which is the protective factors, which is like showing us the other way around, the reverse of the results. We see here that people who are insured are more likely to have their hypertension controlled, and we see that older age, and if you have a diabetes diagnosis, you're less likely to have hypertension. Your hypertension be controlled. And then I have two other slides here that's kind of like an extra slide. We look at, when we ask for our participants about their medication, we found out this data. 78% of our participants said that they are on one antihypertensive medication. 20% of them are in two antihypertensive medication, and just 2% of them are using three or more antihypertensive drugs. And when we look at the single antihypertensive drug therapy, this is what we found out. 27% of our participants use angiotensin receptor antagonist, And as you can see here, out of the 27, 35% are controlled hypertensive, 34 are in stage 1, and then 31% are in stage 2 of their hypertension. These are the folks who are using angiotensin receptor antagonist. 13% are in ACE inhibitor, 42% of them are controlled, 44 are in stage 1, and 14% are stage 2. And the lowest usage of the single antihypertensive drug is a diuretic. Most of that, only 3.9% of our participants use diuretic and diuretic, and 60% of them are controlled hypertensive. So what are the future directions that we're looking at? So it's Angel C. et al. In their study suggested that states in certain localities should develop surveillance capacity that would include direct assessment of awareness, detection, treatment, and control of obesity, hypertension, dyslipidemia, and diabetes. And we also found out that community organizing strategies increase the feasibility of reaching a large community-based population. And it's mainly because of the use of our community health worker who are known in the community and know where they are. It helps us a lot to reach out those the small pockets of our community that are hard to reach. And another strategy that we employ is the coalition building and engaging multiple sectors of our community, churches, the faith-based, community-based organizations, businesses, and also health professional associations. And this helps us optimize our recruitment efforts to reach our target. Findings from community-based participatory research efforts, such as this study, can provide valuable information to policymakers and health departments as to how to address the burden of hypertension in similar populations. And again, community-based screenings provide an effective means of increasing hypertension awareness. And behavioral interventions also critical to improving hypertension control. And this is the model that we're following, the community health intervention model that we're hoping that they would be able to help reduce the burden of hypertension and cardiovascular health disease in our community. And this presentation was made possible by our grant from NIH, and acknowledgement to our community partners, community health workers, and our academic partners. Thank you very much.